You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Monday, a beautiful spring Monday, by the way. Beautiful all day long, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud.
Hey, all kinds of beautiful outside.
It's like layers of beautiful out there right now.
It is. I love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got to spend some time in beautiful weather on the range over the weekend,
did
you?
I did.
Like, how many rounds did you burn?
I went through about 500.
Wait, all with one weapon or multiple?
One weapon, about 100 with another. Nice. So it was a good weekend.
400 out of a long gun then? Out of what,
yeah,
your AR?
About 400.
Sweet.
The AR and the 100 out of pistol.
I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better day.
It was gorgeous. Oh. It was fun too.
All right, I am with bullet envy right now.
Oh.
all right, hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Terry Lathan, the former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, she's been on before. She has taken up the efforts for school choice as her mission in life right now. So she gave us an intro a few weeks back. We're going to catch up with her today, find out where things are, what she knows, how's it moving, is she seeing resistance in the Alabama House and Senate. But right now, 3 o'clock today, Terry Lathan, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, you're going to want to hear what she has to say. And then there's a triple dipper bar none. Hit it, bud.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know before we get into today's show. So here's the deal. Number one, I'm calling it Alabama education, nowhere to go but up. It's true. When you're at the very bottom, ain't nowhere to go but up. It's hard to get lower than the bottom, and that's where we sit. There's been some new developments and issues related to Alabama education, not the least of which is a senior education official. Was she terminated or did she put in her resignation? Either way, she's gone. And we'll talk about why. So, yeah, Alabama education, nowhere to go but up. Number two, our U.S. military. Still the greatest military in the face of the earth, but dang, things are different than what they've been in the past. We are at a difficult spot right now, so we're going to talk about it. Fit to fight, that's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, failing up. I mean, wow. How do you keep screwing up so badly and getting new and better positions? Well, you must work for the Biden administration. So there's that. We're going to talk about it. Failing up, and the names that are going to go down that list are basically all the ones that make decisions that you and I have to live with. Failing up, number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my comments. So this past weekend, I finished reading a book, and I highly recommend it, by the way. It was technically a work of fiction, a novel, but it was a historical novel, very well researched, based on real events. The book was titled Escape from Auschwitz, and it details the monstrous deprivations and the tragedies that Jews and Gypsies and others experienced at the hands of the Nazis during World War II. I mean, it's really hard to fathom the depths to which man's inhumanity to man can go. But this novel did a pretty good job portraying it. But it also dealt with the amazing men and women who were among the very few who formed an actual underground resistance in the worst of the death camps at Auschwitz. At a time when Hitler's SS made murder an efficiency-based assembly line affair, when torture and abuse were considered sport, with the smell of death permeating everything and even the gold fillings in the teeth of the dead being harvested, there were still people, starving and exhausted, who resisted and planned and plotted and even escaped. In real life, all the escapes were audacious, some more than others, like the dudes who stole German uniforms and then stole the Auschwitz camp commander's personal car and drove out the main gate. The stories are amazing. So too were the highs and the lows and the epic moments, like when U.S. bombers flew over and bombed a nearby Nazi factory and how elated the prisoners were. Stories of real people being persecuted for no other reason except for the fact that hate and evil were allowed to rule the day. Well, I love stories of overcomers like that, people who resist evil. It reminds me of a documentary that Charlene and I stumbled across not long ago. It was really more of a personal story, but it had so much history and background in it that, yeah, I guess it would be a documentary. It was called Above and Beyond, and it recounted the true story of one American man's path that led to incredible actions during World War II. The story was told by the man's daughter. In the movie/documentary Above and Beyond, it told the story of a man named Bruce Sundlin, an incredible story of just an average guy, a Jewish American growing up in pre-World War II and just prior to World War II, in the late 30s, at a time when the world could sense that war was on the horizon. This guy, Bruce Sundlin, decided that just in case the U.S. went to war, he wanted to be a pilot. So while he was in college, he enrolled in a program that was initiated at the direction of President Roosevelt. The program was designed to qualify civilian pilots that could be in a reserve corps. And he did so. And when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, followed shortly after that by a declaration of war by Nazi Germany, Bruce Sundlin enlisted in the Army Air Corps. Well, because he had a college degree and was already a qualified pilot, he was made an officer and became the commander at 23 years old, the commander of a B-17 Flying Fortress with a crew of 10 men. They named their plane the Damn Yankee, and the crew flew a dozen highly dangerous combat missions, but on number 13, the Damn Yankee was shot down over Belgium. Of the 10-man crew, five died on the mission being strafed by enemy planes, four were captured on the ground, and Bruce Sundlin was the only man who got away. As an American and as a Jew, he was highly sought after. He remained on the run for 6 months and eventually became part of the French resistance, fighting a guerrilla war against the Germans. And later, his skills got him recruited by the OSS. The OSS was the predecessor to the CIA, to work as a paramilitary pilot. He eventually came out from behind enemy lines, and before the war was over, he was a bomber pilot again in the Pacific Theater. Incredible story. He was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Purple Heart, and other awards. And after the war, he became a successful businessman, later became the governor of Rhode Island. Bruce Sundlin, what a life. But there's another guy, one I knew personally, sort of a second grandfather to Charlene and I in the early years of our marriage. His name was Rayford P. Keitel. Everyone called him Ray. And I knew him in the last decade of his life. He was a wonderful man. He had a wonderful old-school Southern accent, and he always had an old corncob pipe in his mouth, which he would take out and wave around when he talked. I asked him one day, do you ever smoke that thing? He says, Phil, I haven't smoked this in years. I suppose it's really just my pacifier. Someone at church one day told me I should ask Ray about his work during the Second World War, and I did. And he was humble, only told me a little. I had to look up the rest. You see, like Bruce Sundlin, Ray already had his college degree when the war broke out, 1936 graduate of Georgia Tech as a chemical engineer. And he already had a career brewing with what was then known as the Reynolds Metal Company. Ray was with Reynolds during the early years that saw Reynolds develop extraordinary processes for manufacturing sheet aluminum. Just prior to the war, the founder of the company went to Germany and was shocked by the level of manufacturing for aluminum that was going on there and realized then and told the War Department he believed Nazi Germany was on a war footing. So Reynolds, with Ray as one of their engineers, they ramped up their processing. They bought their own mine. They actually built one of the most advanced smelters right here in Sheffield, Alabama. But the war began, and Ray volunteered for military service. To his surprise, the War Department sent him home and declared him essential to the war effort. You see, aircraft were needed, and Reynolds Metals was to become one of the top producers of aluminum sheeting for the construction of those fighters and bombers. Over 3 billion tons of aluminum over the course of the war built almost 300,000 fighting aircraft. My friend Ray told me this almost with regret. He had friends that went to war, and he did not. It seemed to haunt him a bit. Well, I found out not too long ago that my friend Ray had gone on to be vice president of Reynolds, the same company that produced things like Reynolds Wrap aluminum foil and all that, and provided exponential tons of aluminum to build the same planes that Bruce Sundlin flew in, and that the Jews in Auschwitz watched bomb factories nearby. I have no idea whether my friend Ray Keitel helped provide the aluminum that built Bruce Sundlin's Damn Yankee or the bombers that flew over Auschwitz and brought encouragement to men who were just surviving and resisting. It would not surprise me, though. But it's interesting to think that these men, with distinctly different paths, one of which resulted in medals and a career in politics, the other which may have had no medals, but by God, he contributed heavily to the fight, and then the ones who were just surviving and resisting against all odds. These men all had what seemed like divergent paths that actually may have intersected in a major way, and all of them were truly essential to the war effort. So here's the deal, y'all. You find your path. If it's your calling, then don't compare. Don't try to measure it against others. Psalm 139:3 says, God weeds out the good and the bad for the path of our journeys and provides rest along the way. That's my paraphrase there. Find your path. Find your path and don't look back. And resist any effort of the enemy to stand in the way. There are those who have gone before you that have already overcome worse. And there are those who don't think that they contributed, but they surely did. And there are those who won recognition and deservedly so. And every one of them, no matter what their part, they played a part in defeating the enemy. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, I highly recommend that book, Escape from Auschwitz. Historical fiction, but fact nonetheless. Built a few characters and dialogues in order to help the storylines, but I went and double-checked online, and yes, the escapes and the underground and the resistance in Auschwitz, it was real. And then Bruce Sundland, man, look up that film. I'm telling you, it's called Above and Beyond. It's worth it. And then there's my friend Rayford P. Keitel with his corncob pipe, who probably helped put all that together in a way that won the war. All right, you guys, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. We are off and running, and so is the text lines. I kept thinking, well, not many people texted on that one, and then I realized, refresh the screen.
Refresh.
Now we're like, oh, so I've been trying to answer some texts during the break and all that, but quite a few folks jumped in. Scott from Huntsville has already determined that we're heading off into socialism and dishonesty by daring to talk about school choice. whatever. Brian from Huntsville has texted in about the plane I talked about, the damn Yankee. He says, too many people don't know that overseas any American was called a Yankee. The Yanks, yeah. Well, yeah. Allie from Athens enjoyed it. Thank you, Allie. Appreciate it. Amazing stories. And he always says, and Ray helped to launch the Lister Hill Credit Union way ahead of. I did not know this. That's very cool. Wow, Allie, later on, you got to tell me that story. And we got some new textures on the line. Who are the new textures? We had Jane from Gadsden. Who else is new, Boom? Alan from Arab.
And there was one more. Mike from Owens Crossroads.
Yeah, good deal. Awesome. Is there a limit to the number we can have in our system?
Nope.
It just keeps on going?
It just keeps going. We can have forever.
It's a good thing because it keeps on growing. I know that.
Because of that, yes.
I was talking about my older friend, Rayford P. Keitel, a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a total rabbit chase here, but I got to tell a Ray story.
Oh, please do. He seems so interesting.
He was awesome. He was a big old fella, had a big old belly and a corncob pipe, and he'd talk to you like this, son. I'd say to you, here's the way I feel about it while he's waving that corncob pipe around. Anyway, I was in Georgia for a period of time working in full-time ministry, and the church we were at where I met him, and they asked, Charlene and I had just moved from Mobile to this place in Georgia, and the church asked, hey, since you're from Mobile, like you just moved here, you probably know about Bellingrath Gardens. And is it Bellingrath? Hang on a second. I got my gardens correct. Yeah, I think it's Bellingrath Gardens in Mobile. And the seniors are going down there. Would you mind maybe being their escort and taking them back because you know the way around Mobile? And I was like, okay. So suddenly I had like,
sure.
I was like the adopted grandson for the next 5 days for like, 70 seniors in our church, right? Just me. So we go to, and Ray is like the guy in charge. And so we go down there, and some of the ladies in the group decided they just had to see a play. at the old, what's it called? The old number one firehouse theater. And I said, I've lived down here for like 8 years and I've never heard of this place. And they said, oh, no, it's downtown. We understand it's very good. And they're doing a play tonight. We thought it might be fun to go watch it. And I was like, okay. This is before internet. So, you know, what am I going to do? So we got this. Now, if you've been to old downtown Mobile, it's kind of like New Orleans. Narrow streets, you know.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and we're getting the bus barely through these little streets, and we sure enough, it's the old like number one fire station, and there's a theater group that does plays there, right? So,
well, there you go. So they figured it out.
Well, we get there though.
Oh no,
we get there. I kid you not. We go. So Ray comes with. I said, let me go check it out, y'all. Ray says, I'll come with you, son. So we go to the door. And knock on the door, and a guy comes. I kid you not, he's wearing a big floppy beret and a black cape. And he opens the door, and he goes, he waves his hands in the air, goes, "We're so glad you're here." And we look in. It's a big concrete room, and they've got hard wooden folding chairs sitting in a circle, and they're going to do a play in the round right in the middle. Okay, this is going downhill fast, right?
It's going downhill fast.
This ain't going to work. I got people in there that don't want to sit on something hard for 10 minutes, much less 2 hours. So I said, let's go back and tell the group, excuse us, we'll be right back. I'm thinking, and so I get the microphone, I said, in the bus, I'm like, hey, y'all, I'm just, and Ray goes, let me have that there microphone just for a second. And I said, sure. And I handed it to him, and he goes, all he said was, friends, I feel it'd be best for us to move along. My fear is these Bohemians may perform in the nude. And everybody just stared at us. And the bus door shut, and we drove off. And there's the guy with the beret and the cape just watching us drive away.
So saddened.
I don't know why I'm telling that story. I just loved Ray Keitel. He was just a cool man. I feel these Bohemians may perform in the nude. I may have even told that story before. I don't know. Anyway, all right, we got a great show lined up for you. And yes, even though Scott from Huntsville is apoplectic about it, we're going to talk about school choice because I'm a firm believer in it. And Scott, if you want to call in and try and tell me why it's socialism, I'll be glad to debate you. But that being said, coming up top of the half hour, Terry Lathan, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, who also believes in school choice, by the way, along with 90% of Republicans nationwide, by the way, is going to be on the line talking to us about the Price Act and what we're doing, where we're going. Is it going? I don't know. To add to the fray, we've got some new developments in Alabama education, which has nowhere to go but up, with what is touted as one of the best kindergarten programs in the nation. And yet, the governor just saw fit to call for a change in leadership. Why? Could it have been the woke materials that were discovered being promulgated by said director of statewide early childhood education? I'll be glad to tell you all about it here in just a minute. So, yeah, we're taking a break right now. We'll be right back. We'll come on in. Number one of the Triple Dipper, Alabama education. Nowhere to go but up. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.